Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We're positively down here at beautiful Fadley's. We're at Lexington Market. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. You have the Scratch Olsen Back to the Future. I hope we have some lucky. I almost gave one to an underage person here a little while ago. John Martin would have had me, so give me that ticket back. She looked 18. What do you want me to say? I handed her a ticket. She handed it back. She said, I'm not old enough. I'm like, well, if you think you're not old enough, you're not. Give it back to me. Luke Jones is here. You're old enough. So there, you can have one. We talked some baseball. We're going to get some football in here. Katie Pumphrey's going to be here talking about swimming in the Inner Harbor, which I'm not going to be doing, and I'll let her know that, too. That was before the gas was spilled last week. What do you want to talk about with the Ravens this week? What did you learn in OTAs other than Lamar Jackson really likes money, except when it's involved with him coming and doing something? I mean,
I'd say they wouldn't be as
good. You know how many autographs he's going to have to sign to make $750,000?
I think he's going to be fine with the new contract he's going to get at some point here in the next. Let's see. They need to do it by, like, next March because his cap number next year is, like, $75 million. So.
That's all.
Yeah. But, look, I mean, it's OTAs. I hate to be so flippant about it because, you know, it just.
You have to go or Chad won't give you a press pass. He took my press pass, told me I didn't attend enough OTAs.
It reflects what happens when you become grumpy and kind of not jaded. I'm not jaded about it, but I just know that it doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, it's just, it's part of the overall process to get ready for the season, but I can go back and find you things I wrote this time of year 15 years ago.
All right, well, who looked good? Give me some names. Come on, let's
some
go.
Names?
Tell me somebody. Where's TJ Tampa? I'm just throwing
TJ
like
Tampa's
name.
Looked good. I mean, he has. I'll
well, they lost the other kid,
I'll
right?
tell but, you.
Bo Braid.
Right. Minor ankle injury. He'll be okay. I think he'll be ready for training camp if he doesn't take part in mini camp. I mean, yeah, we'll start with the secondary because obviously we know they lost Ardarius Washington. They drafted Malachi Starks, who, by the way, I'm really impressed with him.
See, this is what I'm
really impressed with him.
That's why people listen to the show.
I haven't had a chance to have a one-on-one conversation with him yet, but think about it. He's a first-round pick, so we got him that night on a Zoom. Came into Owings Mills the following day for his introductory where he holds up the jersey. We talked to him at rookie camp. We talked to him then on the final week of OTAs. And he's impressive. He's not quite 22 years old yet, and he talks like he's 30. I've said that about Kyle Hamilton at various times, and he's cut from the same cloth in that way. And
well, they need more grown-ups around there after Justin Tucker thing.
He's so impressive from the standpoint of he was kind of asked because at Georgia, I mean, he was a red star prospect. You
right.
remember that system with the Raven scouts and all of that, guys that would stake their name and reputation to a specific draft prospect. But he was asked about being a leader at Georgia. And I thought this was not just something that was impressive from a football standpoint. It was impressive just to hear a young man say this in a general sense. And he said at Georgia, I had to learn to follow the right people to learn how to lead. And I thought about that. And I'm just like, that's really deep for a 21-year-old young man to like think about it. For any of us that fancy ourselves being in some kind of a leadership position, chances are you didn't just – as much as we hear like, the term a natural-born leader, really, you might have some instinctual tendencies that way.
Yeah, where did Ray Lewis see
are,
that? Where did he
chances
get that,
are
right?
you saw that from someone, whether it was your father, your older brother, a teacher, a coach, your principal, you know, whatever the case might be. But I thought it was so interesting. Like, he was asked about, you know, being a leader and like transitioning to the next level. He said, look, first of all, I've got to learn what I'm doing and I got to know what I'm doing before I'm going to expect anyone else to follow my lead. But he said, at Georgia, I learned how to follow the right people that I saw how they led. And then I would take elements of that, take cues from them, and you grow into that role. And I just thought that was impressive. I mean, he's looked like a first round pick on the field. I'm not going to sit here saying he's the next Ed Reed, but he's looked perfect. There have been no, like, oh,
he will
that
be starting in Buffalo on
he's
September 7th.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, he's going to be starting. I mean, he's going to
play 65 snaps, and that's what's going
to
happen.
At this point, yeah. Yeah. I mean, with Washington on the shelf, I mean, the training wheels that he might have had to start the year, I mean, that's not going to be the case anymore. Unless they, you know, I still think they're going to sign a
it's
safety.
Not going to have the road that Wiggins had last year,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. I mean, Wiggins didn't play a whole lot early on and then kind of grew into a starting role. But
and that's what they usually prefer, unless yeah. you're Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even Kyle Hamilton was brought along slowly, if you recall. I mean, I still remember vividly They did the stadium practice. So this was, what, the second week of training camp, something like that. And they were doing one-on-ones, wide receivers and tight ends against corners and safeties. First of all, that drill always favors the pass catcher. Always does. So he was beaten by some undrafted rookie wide receiver. I can't even literally can't remember the guy's name. And I remember people were going bananas about that. Like, Kyle Hamp, like, what, this guy can't cover this scrub? And everyone was, like, losing their mind about it. And it's just like, guys, it's one rep in a training camp practice that didn't have any, like, it was one-on-one. It wasn't even 7-on-7.
But it happened in the stadium in front of people.
It did. It did. And it went viral on social media. But Kyle Hamilton, think back to that was the year they lost in week two to the Dolphins.
Right.
Remember, Tua went nuts. Tyreek Hill went nuts in the second half. And he was out of position a few times. It wasn't just him. I mean, they had three or four different guys melt down at times in that second half. But he struggled to the point where they kind of simplified things for him and made him a nickel. And he did that very well the rest of the year. But there were growing pains for him. So the point is, was not that Starks is going to be perfect or that he's not going to have some growing pains. I'm sure he's going to have a hiccup or two. But I've just been impressed because there's only so much that happens on the field in the spring that really, really makes an impression. But hearing him speak and answer questions multiple times now and just how thoughtful he is, I'll say this much. Compared to some other first-round picks that they've had in the past where I don't want to pick on them, but I'm going to pick on them a little bit here. From the time Matt Elam was introduced, I was kind of like, this is their first-round pick? Prashad Perriman was a really nice kid, but never really exuded confidence in the way that a first-round wide receiver you want to have.
I think Bateman had some confidence problems a couple years ago,
probably
too.
Probably did. I think his health issues the first couple years. But this kid, I'm really impressed. And look, he's got to play on the field. Like, he's got to be able to do it on the field. But I'm also, full disclosure, I'm also thinking about this in terms of being a media guy and good quotes and go-to players that'll talk after tough losses and things like that. I'm already thinking, man, this guy, I think, could end up being that. And he was at Georgia. Obviously a high-profile program and national championships and playing in the playoffs and all that. So, but it's just impressive. For all the talk of Mike Green and that situation and how that's going to play out, even though they're thrilled with what they see of him on the field, I mean, there's going to be question marks about that, at least for the next couple years until he shows, hey, those were isolated incidents, and he's going to stay out of trouble.
As opposed to Antonio Brown, who can't stay out of trouble.
Sure,
right?
Like, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's part of it. But in the case of Malachi Starks, I've been impressed by that. I really haven't. You know me, man. I don't get too caught up in that. I don't get too caught up in the idea of, quote, winning a press conference. But him talking about leadership, he reminded me of a 31-year-old, not a 21-year-old. And I just thought that was cool to see. But the secondary in general, you know, who is the third safety going to be now? Because
you feel more like you're going to see that this week with mandatory?
Yeah. Well, you know, Kyle Hamilton only took part in a couple OTAs. I mean, how much of that is related to he's a guy that's going to be getting a contract at some point. I mean, he's under contract this year and next year, so it's not
well,
like
he and Linderbaum are going to cost him.
But, yeah, I mean, Hamilton, I think he's a unique case because I think the top of the market for safety right now is $21 million per year. If I were his agent, I'd be saying
– start at 22.
No. I'd be starting at 25. And the reason why would be he's not just a safety. You play him at linebacker, you play him at slot corner. You've lined him up at the edge. He's one of your best blitzers. Like, he's a hybrid player. And don't get me wrong, that's not to say that he's going to get $40 million a year. I'm not, like, trying to be, like, nuts. But if I'm his agent, I'm looking at him, and my argument is he is so valuable to you guys beyond just what the best safety is that, you know, I'd be trying to kind of reset the market a little bit with him. I mean, we're going to see how it plays out. There's no – other than Lamar – there's no one else on this roster that, in my mind, they could afford to lose, you know, more like with.
If
like
they didn't have him last year when the safety position fell apart,
they would have never recovered. I mean, they had the problems they did even with Kyle Hamilton. But obviously what he was able to do, becoming kind of a more traditional safety out of necessity.
And well, he also really took the job of a guy who was making $16 million a year.
He
right?
did. He did.
And played it a whole lot better than that guy did.
But you want to get back to the point where you can start moving him around again. So that's where I think this, not so much, we're not going to see answers at minicamp. And frankly, we're not going to see answers the first couple weeks of training camp. But we're going to see.
You see a full complement of bodies next week, though.
I think the name to watch, you know, you mentioned TJ Tampa, who's someone that's in the mix to be like the number three or number four corner at this point in time. The guy that, you know, you mentioned Bo Braden, obviously he hurt his ankle this past week, a minor injury. I'm guessing we may not see him this coming week, but he should be okay for camp. But Sanusi Kane, who was late round safety that they drafted last year, played special teams, kind of had a body that looked a little more like a strong safety slash linebacker. He slimmed down, and John Harbaugh kind of was over the top the other day, more so than, look, I call May and June the season of optimism. Everyone looks great. Everyone's improving. Everyone's taking the next step. Everyone's going to be better than they were the year before. And we know how that works. But it was a little more praise than usual talking about Sanusi Kane, who, like I said, I think he's in better shape as far as what the role might be for him that they're asking him to play. And I still think when it's all said and done, if you ask me to bet a dollar, yeah, they're going to sign a veteran safety to add to the mix. But of their internal options, you know, I think Sanusi Kane is someone to at least keep an eye on. Corner, I'd be remiss because I don't know if we even mentioned it this past week, but, you know, Green Bay, they let go of Jair Alexander.
I saw that.
So, of course, as is always the case, whenever a corner
he's gonna Raven. He's got to be a Raven.
He's got to be a Raven.
And he's the kind of guy that, if the Ravens have money, they throw around and, they like good players here.
I would say this. There is certainly, for the right price, he's a Louisville kid. He's got a relationship with Lamar Jackson. For the right price, sure. However, and I'm looking at his Pro Football Reference page right now, 2021, he played 4 games. 2022, played 16 games. 2023, 7 games. 2024, 7 games. Availability is paramount. So if he wants to sign a 1-year deal, that's, I don't know.
Come in here, get yourself right, go make some money.
A base value of $4 million with a max value that he can earn 8 or 9 or 10 with incentives and playing time and snaps and all that, then sure. But I suspect, and
somebody's going to think he's going to
play
16
games. There are some other teams out there that are going to view that differently. I mean, I kind of look at it, they signed Awuzie, who used to be a Bengals corner, was in Tennessee most recently. He's kind of cut from the same cloth, a guy who's played well but has had a lot of injuries. They signed him for, what was it, $1.5 million, something like that, to kind of be the number three corner. And look, we'll see if he is. I mean, they've got Marlon and they have Nate Wiggins. Awuzie right now on paper is their number three corner. We'll see about TJ Tampa. You still have Jalen Armour Davis. They drafted two corners, albeit in the sixth round. But
Alexander would be an upgrade over him.
Oh, Awuzie. He'd be an upgrade. Yeah. Oh, no question.
But if he's not on the field.
But he's not an upgrade if he's on the sideline.
Yeah, Awuzie plays 17 games. He plays 9.
But that's the problem. But Awuzie's also had injuries too. So, again, right player, right price. I am not at all saying I wouldn't want him, but if you're telling me the price is $10 million to sign him, like base?
No.
I would say I there are other directions I'd probably go than that. But
I don't know if they have a need for him as a $10 million player.
Well, sure.
Right?
Well, and that's part of it. And look, I just threw out $10 million, just throwing it out there.
They have the position covered. They can go play this weekend,
That's a lot of missed games over the last 4 years. He's only 28. I mean, he's not. Not talking about a 33-year-old barely holding on, but availability is typically something that doesn't get better as you age. That's why Ronnie Stanley was such a pleasant surprise and a great development this past year.
It's why I'm so worried about him this year.
In a general sense.
In a general sense.
Like, not in a cynical, like, doubting sense.
They don't get younger and bigger and just everything that goes on with him.
But he earned every nickel of that extension, and I'll give him every bit of credit for that. And I'll say this. I think he could have got more on the open market. I think he
played enough.
I think he played ball with the Ravens enough that they gave some and he gave some, and they both wanted to get it done. That doesn't happen very often, but it does happen.
It's
sometimes.
An amazing. He had his chance to get out, right? If he wanted to go play elsewhere, to play with Lamar. He wants to play here.
I mean, you go and look, and I think part of it was also, and he wrote that he penned a piece, or at least had someone write it for him, whatever. But with the Players Tribune, and it was really thoughtful. I don't know if you had a chance to check it out, but he went into detail in terms of
his
what
injury,
happened
yeah.
in 21, how there was, I guess, all but one ligament he had torn with the original injury. And then when he came back the following year, doctors had told him, look, it's really tough for us to diagnose, you know, with MRI and imaging and everything, just how much integrity that ligament has. We don't know. Or ligament or tendon, whatever it was. And what ended up happening was he tried to play on it, and we saw how
the Oakland game, right?
Horrendous he looked in Vegas.
Vegas.
And, you know, it turned out that, yeah, he had torn that, needed another surgery, all that. So he went through all of this, and it's one of those things that's made me kind of look back and say, you know, this guy, and look, I'm not crying the blues for him. He got paid right before he got hurt. Thank goodness for his sake. Bad for the Ravens, good for him, right?
He's rebounded and played on two playoff teams.
But it's been right. It's been a good story. I don't think the story's gotten enough celebration. I get it.
Played every snap last year.
I mean, he just about every snap.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he played all seven. It's the first time in his career he's played every game. So I think it's one of those stories that it's a little bit. It's a good story. Like, I get it. He made a lot of money. Missed a lot of games.
I wouldn't have bet a dollar on a guy that size having
two years ago, kind
of redemption. Right?
2 years ago, if you had told me 2 years ago, is it more likely that Ronnie Stanley signs an extension with the Ravens or his career is basically over? I would have said his career is basically over based on what we were seeing.
He's never
going to
get another
ago.
Contract, right? So, you would have definitely said that.
He got real money. I mean, not $100 million, but he
yeah,
got
I mean,
real
and
money.
I want to be clear on the Ronnie Stanley thing. For those of you who may be new to the party, the day he got injured 5 years ago, I immediately wrote, they can't win the Super Bowl without him.
He's on that short
list.
Like,
literally, he was one of those guys. In the way that you think Kyle Hamilton would be a catastrophic injury for their defense.
I mean, let's face it.
Number two to Lamar, right?
And you'd say the same thing about the Eagles. You'd say the same thing about Kansas City, Buffalo. Go through all.
By the way, I'd say that about Derrick Henry at this point. If they don't have Derrick. If Derrick Henry gets gimpy week two and can't play this year, they would be a much diminished team in the way that the Orioles are diminished without Grayson Rodriguez to me.
You know what?
Like the
only way I would push back would be, well, they were a touchdown away from going to the Super Bowl the year before, right? I mean, they were a Zay Flowers not fumbling the ball over the goal line.
Over the body of the year,
but it's
though.
Important.
I need
but
Derek
it's important.
Henry.
Sure.
I need Derek Henry.
Let me be clear. I'm not saying he's not a phenomenal player. He is.
You lobbied against us getting him for long enough.
I didn't lobby
against
it.
Now that he's here. Now that he's here.
You're miscategorizing my feelings.
Just
on
because
it.
I was predictive.
So. But
they still got to win the
Super
the
Bowl. Point
for me
is,
to be right.
But the point is, with right, true. I mean, everyone's waiting on that. I mean, that's right. Why every time I do an out of town radio hit and they ask me, what is the one move that the Ravens are away of winning the Super Bowl? It's like Lamar Jackson not turning it over, Mark Andrews not fumbling, Zay Flowers not fumbling the ball across the goal line like he did against Kansas City 2 years ago in the title game. It's like they need their stars to play like stars in the biggest spots. I mean, it's not like some. It's not like some magic answer.
When their stars are goats and not the good kind of goat in playoff games, right?
So, yeah. And, you know, and well, look, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. But, yeah, each of those contenders has maybe 3, 4, maybe 5 players on their roster where you'd say if they lose that guy, it's probably not happening. Obviously, the quarterback, any of those teams lose their quarterback, they're done.
Chiefs might have already lost Travis Kelce. I saw him up there with Taylor Knudlin.
He was at the hockey game.
He was at the hockey game.
I saw that.
Knudlin.
So, great hockey. That series has been awesome, by the way. You know me, I'm not a
hockey
guy.
They were one of the basketball games 2 weeks ago, too, weren't they?
Probably.
Yeah, they were.
They make the rounds. But
I think they did a Knicks game,
but,
as I remember.
But no, I mean, going back to the point I was trying to make, and, you know, just since we mentioned January, I mean, I still think that's part of the challenge for this team is just the mental part of navigating another season, trying to stay as healthy as you stayed last year. I mean, we already saw this with our Darius Washington. That's already a more consequential injury than any injury they had last year. Other than the timing of Zay Flowers getting hurt. I mean, Zay Flowers, that wasn't a 3-month injury that he had, but it was a 3 or 4 week injury that he had, and it happened at the worst time. But so much of that for them, I think, is it's just a grind that they have to go through OTAs, mandatory minicamp, training camp, the preseason, the first 3 months of first month of the regular season, making sure you get off to a better start than you did last year because you want to have home field advantage. But, like, at such a long path, just to get back to where they were in Buffalo in mid-January.
In the fourth quarter.
And then all the same questions start, right? All the same doubts, all the same questions, all the same skepticism. And I think that's a challenge
it's
for them.
It's a long, long road to get back to a championship game.
I mean, it is. It really is. And that's not – I'm as high on them as I've been the last, you know, anytime Lamar's been healthy the last 6 years, right? I mean, I'm as high on them as then. But they've got to break through. And it's not, I was even, I forget where I was, I did an out-of-town, maybe it was Buffalo. I don't know if it was Buffalo, but.
They all run together.
Yeah, they do. They do. And the question was kind of, you know, is the Ravens window closing, starting to close? And I said no, but I do think as these January misfortunes and failures and disappointment and heartbreak, that piles up, boy, that wears on you. I mean, I just think it wears on you. I mean, that's why I like...
You said that in Buffalo?
Sure. Oh, sure. Well, and if it was Buffalo, I made the... I made the comparison and say, hey, look, I don't need to tell
you. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
I said, unlike you guys, what you've gone through, at least the Ravens have won a couple times where, you know, they can look back in their, you know, the last 25 years. But it is, like, it's a grind. I mean, I think it really is. And, you know, this is where we kind of, you know, bring it back to the present. Like,
well, Lamar will be here this week.
He'll be here this week. Kyle Van Noy will be here this week. And
unlike in Cincinnati where the rush edge doesn't want to come to practice. You know, guys holding out this time of year looking for money and fighting with the team and all that, that's not where you want to be first week of June.
It's not. I mean, it's not. It's something that's part of the deal sometimes. But, yeah, Cincinnati, I mean, put him aside. I mean, they're still fighting with Trey Hendrickson. I mean, like, don't get me wrong.
Well, they gave all the money to the wide receivers.
I get it. Burrow, Chase, and Higgins are signed. Great. And they'll score a lot of points, and they'll win some games that
41-31.
But we learned last year they couldn't win every
week.
They're
going to lose in 38-27.
Yeah. I mean, they lost two games to the Ravens that way last year, right? So I look at them. I mean, I don't know if you and I have we given any breath, any oxygen to Aaron Rodgers now officially being a Steeler? I mean, what's that going to look like?
By the way, I made
like
a mistake this week, and I'll break on this because you got to go to the ballpark. Sure. But the U.S. Open is in Oakmont this weekend, Father's Day weekend, or was if you're listening to this. I had Ed Miller from Classic 5 on, and I said to him, you know, I go to Pittsburgh, I always see the Oakmont thing. I said, it's right there by Mr. Rogers' house. And he thought that was being funny, but I was thinking, like, Fred Rogers, Slippers, Mr. Rogers, Pittsburgh, like Squirrel Hill, Mr.
One of my favorites.
And then I'm like, no, he's like, well, they got the other Mr. Rogers now. And I'm like, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. So, I mean,
there's two Mr. Rogers in Pittsburgh.
It's a fascinating division.
Will he be the – I'll bet you a Fadley's crab cake right now. Will he be the quarterback when the Steelers show up here in week 12 or whatever week? I mean, we don't see the Steelers till like, December.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm not, he'll still be upright?
I'm not saying it's going to be like – that he's going to look like vintage Aaron Rodgers, but – I think
if he's still upright, that means they'll probably be 7-4 or 5 by the time he gets
here. They'll be what they always are, right? I mean, they're
500-ish.
9-8, you know.
They always have one more win than you think they should have.
You know, I mean, yes. It'll be interesting. I mean, what, there's a little bit of tension with T.J. Watt wanting a new deal. So even they're dealing with some of that. So the Ravens, we'll see. I mean, until everyone's accounted for Tuesday and Wednesday, and I'm there taking attendance and tweeting it out and all
and
that.
And Lamar's not tweeting out somebody to perform fellatio from above, and he wants to have a redone contract or something. I mean, if Lamar comes Tuesday and says, I'm not coming unless you redo me.
I mean,
give me some more money. Give me some fresh money.
I'd be surprised by that.
We just turned down $750,000.
Oh, that's not $300 million like he's going to get on a new deal or more than that. So, I mean, he's – what –
You think the new deal is going to be they're going to give him 4 or 5 more years to tack on?
They're going to tack on 3 more, yeah.
3 more.
Yeah, but they'll
it's
announce
fake.
It.
It's fake. It's fake.
Because they tear up the next 3 years, and then you know, it'll be what's the signing bonus, what's the guarantee through the first year, second year payout, third year payout, all that. Because what, Dak Prescott's, what, $60 million a year now in terms of AAV?
Well, I mean, Lamar will go to the front of the class, right?
Yeah.
So he'll be 61.
As he should. I mean,
65.
Him, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, you know, that top tier, it's cyclical. Whoever's up next becomes the highest paid, and then whoever's next in line becomes the highest paid after
that. That's what Joe Flacco explained many years ago. All right, to the ballpark. Luke Jones is covering all things Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Also going to be out in Owings Mills all week long for mini camp, the real camp, the mandatory, which means you better come. So certainly in your case, you better be there next week.
I will be there.
2 days though, right? Just Tuesday, Wednesday?
2 days, yeah, just two.
Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday, that's it.
Yeah. Some years they've done 3. I know there have been a couple years where they've cut the final day off. Last year they did 3, but the last day, veterans weren't on the field. They didn't even practice in helmets. So.
Oh, John being nicey-nice before the vacation. Yeah. Don't get arrested. Don't get in trouble. Don't let me see you in the
Certainly
news.
Certainly don't want any of that.
I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are giving away the Back to the Futures down here, the scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Katie Pumphrey's going to be here. Damie's going to be here. We're going to get ready for some summertime. And then we're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour at the Y in Randallstown on Tuesday. Why? Because I've been wanting to do that in the summertime, and it's at the pool. Back for more. We're at Fadley's. We are Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.